Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, we're coming to you live and in living color here on your radio dial, which happens to be 101.5, and the call letters are WVFB, and this is a FM station, which stands for Frequency Modulation, I believe. How about that for a bunch of information just right off the bat? And I believe the AM did it. I think it stood for audio modulation. So, but that was the difference in AM and FM, of course. While I started on that, we remember when there wasn't very many FM stations around. They were all AM stations in the beginning, just about, and they only reached about from here to Livingston or here to Tompkinsville or here to Lafayette. And then a lot of times you had to wait till after dark, and most of our local stations signed off at dark, didn't they? I remember WLIV signed off every night. We'd come home at supper time with Governor Jimmy Davis singing it. So how about that for a little short trip down memory lane before we get started with this morning's show? Of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors that make this possible. I've got Murray Lloyd Reno sitting here this morning. We've got a whole bunch of things. We've been sitting here radioing for the last few minutes, and we're about to forget to call in and get the real show started. But we'll get cranked up just in a minute. But first, I guess we could just start off with a few messages from some of our sponsors and get that done to begin with. And want to remind everyone that the Clay County Chamber and the Three Star Program, they do play a big part in keeping this show live on here on your radio dial every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And want to remind you, while we're giving you today's time, which you know about since you're here, want to remind you to tell your neighbors to tune us in about 6 o'clock tonight when we do a little rebroadcast. But right now, let's take a little short break and get in a couple of messages from our great sponsors, and we'll be back just in a minute.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
Needs to be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Yeah.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Hey, Clay County. Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey, the dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. While we were off on break here, Murray Lloyd and I were sitting here talking about some of the things that we may wander off. She's got an official reason to be here, why we invited her on. We, of course, had never been official. We want to remember our birthday and anniversary list. We've got a short list today. Folks, you need to call in. Somebody's going to win a cake today. We don't have very many. So we're down from our usual number of about 8 or 10. You need to call 931. You don't really need to call 931 unless you're... We still have to call 931 anywhere. We don't anywhere in the county, do we, anymore? At one time, we had to call and had to dial the area code to get to Maple Grove and some of our folks down in the Hermitage Springs area, but I think the phone companies finally got together and took care of that.
Yeah.
We had...
Now, some of them out in the West End, we have to call 615 because they're on a different one. But now, we can call Livingston and part of Cookeville without being...
Yeah, I think at one time here in this county, we had, three area codes and three or four zip codes. You're in the about the 87th or 88th size county in the state of Tennessee. We were kind of divided up for a little while. I want to remind everyone to call 243-5574 and speak slowly and clearly into our answering machine and with the name of the celebrant. And like I've suggested before, you might want to mention it twice. So in case I'd... missed the first time you say it, and I know a lot of folks have a habit of starting to speak just a little bit early in those things, and they'll clip off part of the first name of the person celebrating a birthday or anniversary. But if you call in, we want to try and make sure that we get your name on the list, and along toward the end of the show today, we will draw out a lucky name, and they'll receive a ice cream cake over at the Salina DQ. Well, let's see, I got a couple of housekeeping things here. I know the mayor has asked me to announce each week up until the time that the public meetings concerning the application for new landfills out in the west end of the county. And one of those meetings is Thursday, July the 14th, and that's for the TDS folks for their application, 6:30 that night. And the public is... not only invited, but encouraged to show up and voice their support or whatever concerning this. And then the next meeting is for Mr. Carlisle's application, and that meeting is on Monday, July the 25th. These are down at the complex, and they begin at 6:30 each night. Well, homecoming days coming up here before long.
Yeah, how about that? August 4, 5, and 6, we're working. I've been out putting signs up this morning and everything, trying to get everything ready. So, yeah, you know it had to rain. I had to step in a puddle this morning. I'd put up a sign and it had blown crooked, so I was straightening it up.
When you step in a puddle, that means it's been raining cats and dogs.
Yeah, it means it's been raining cats and dogs because I stepped on a little poodle. And, that's exactly right. But we're looking for a good homecoming. We've already got a lot of things started. If anybody hadn't got their booth or needing one, they need to call the museum, get an application, fill it out, and get it done, because they go pretty quick from now on. We've not got a whole lot left and everything, but we got all of our bands lined up. We've got the start from finish. You know, we start early Thursday morning, everybody's setting up, and Dean Walden's, of course, is always getting her quilt things in early and everything, and then about 2:00 we have a grand opening or every time out at the museum with the ringing of the bells. And then the next thing the kids really love is the lawnmower parade, and it's its own thing. They always have some kind of eating contest. Wenton's real good about that. I'm not for sure what he's going
to
have.
Well, I guess since he's a retiree, he has more time to dedicate to the important things now.
That's exactly right. I like to never got a hold of him. Before, I could see him coming by on my mailbox and hit him, but now he's out doing other things, so... You know, it's everything's going good, and then, of course, Thursday night's the cakewalk, and then music, and then Friday morning, everything starts again. I believe gentlemen are going to just still be serving Thursday and Friday. I've tried to get them to serve Friday and Saturday, but I was talking to Craig, and he said, I think they voted Thursday and Friday. I don't think you can get much help. You know how that is.
On Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday, yeah. But, you know, just different things going on Friday. And then we get to the cow patty contest and our little auction and everything. That's a big thing. And then the music. And then Saturday, you get ready to do all that. And then we got music on the square at 1 to 4. And that's local music and everything, just the locals. Anybody wants to come in needs to see Susan Birdwell because she's handling that for us. And we have the, of course, the duck race right about 2 o'clock. If I can keep from here before last, I got down my boat and my gas line busted. So I called, thank goodness for the cell phones. I called them and up on the bridge and I said, we're going to be 30 minutes late. I got to go find me a gas hose. So I had to run around town and find one. And I got tickled that Daniel Stewart was with me to help me with the ducks. And I said, you just hold the boat. I'll be back. I think he thought I wasn't ever coming back, because you know how when you're waiting, time passes not as fast as you think it does. And when I got back, I had to take the ends off my motor and put on this hose, because it was one off of a different kind of motor. And Daniel says, Mary Lloyd, where'd you learn to do that? I says, Daniel, I grew up at Holly Creek working on all the motors. You know, he was good, but it all goes off well. Then we have the music all night and all the eatings and everything. And it's just a place to come and bring you chairs and sit in under the shade and talk to people and listen to people and enjoy it and sit back. And it may be the one free thing in this county that you can come to. It don't cost you a dime to come. Just come and enjoy yourself. Of course, you always want to buy something to eat. And yeah. We always have good eats and everything.
Got plenty of food vendors around.
Got plenty of food vendors around and everything.
What about the jumpy house?
We got the spongy, the bungee jump. Yeah, he's supposed to be here. He called me the first of the year and got his reservation in and everything. So that's a big thing for the kids to have something extra for them to do. And
why don't we set that up over on the bridge and
let some of them bungee off? I've got two or three I'd like to sit over there on the bridge and let them bungee off. No, he does a good job and he takes real good care of the kids and lets them. You know, if it's not real busy, he'll let them jump longer than they're supposed to and all that kind of stuff. But he does a good job, helps us and everything.
Oh, Barbara, if you've never been over to Bridge Day over in West Virginia, you don't know what I'm talking about. But the New River Bridge over, I think that's the tallest bridge this side of the Mississippi or something, maybe one of the tallest in the country. And them crazy people gather up over there every year in the fall, and they...
jump off the bridge.
They hang glide off that thing, jump off of it, bungee jump. And they got a bunch of boats down the river picking them up.
Right.
So some of them land in the river instead of over on the dry land like they're supposed
right.
to. But if you've never seen something
and
like
if
that,
you bungee jump when you get to the end of the cord and you've not hit water, you're going to come shooting back up. And you have to kind of be watch out if you've ever seen any of that.
I don't know where their bridge high enough.
I know our bridge isn't high enough. Nah, we'd drown two or three before it was over with. A log would hit them coming down the river.
Getting back.
Yeah. But you know, it's just a three-day event. And everything that we raise is to operate the museum. We are not funded by any local. I mean, the city doesn't give us any money. The county doesn't give us any money. But they do help us of what we call in kind. The city mows our yard for us, which helps us a whole lot. And the county, always during homecoming days, brings up the dumpsters and stuff like that. And they help in certain ways, but not money-wise. So all the money that we make from this is what goes to operate the museum. So, you know, as time has gone on, our budget has gotten larger because, well, we now have computers. and some up-to-date stuff in it that we didn't have a few years ago. We just got a big 12 or 17 scanner. So if you've got any old pictures of buildings or houses or schools or any historic structure, we'd love for you to bring them by and let us see them and identify them for us and let us scan them. We don't want your picture. We'll just scan it right then, hand it back to you. That way you won't lose your pictures. And that saves a whole lot of time.
Okay, let's take a little short break here. We'll come back and talk some more about the pictures of historical communities in, mm-hmm. here in the county, historical buildings, and the lack of those things. It's something that really is a serious problem because it's hard to find pictures of old buildings here in Clay County. But we'll be back just in a second to talk a little bit more about that.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. We are sitting here, Mary Lloyd and I are sitting here this morning. We're sitting here, and I act like I had a co-host and just a producer and director and all these sitting in here. They are all sitting here. But
we're all sitting here, and we're doing it.
We're occupying two chairs.
Right.
And a whole bunch of different hats.
Right.
We were talking about pictures here, historical pictures in Clay County. And Mary Lloyd, I know that you've said in the past that you've got a lot of pictures out there that don't know
We can't identify them. We've tried to sort. We got thousands of pictures out there that were just in boxes, never done anything with particularly. And we are sorting and labeling and put them in what we call archival sleeves to take care of them for posterity. But there's a lot of pictures of nice houses, old houses, that we don't know whose houses they are. So if you're ever out that way and want to look through some pictures, you might help us identify some of them because some of them are gone. I know one we finally figured out which was the old Mabry house down on Arcot, which is burnt.
Yeah.
And we had two houses that looked very similar, and we couldn't figure out which was one to the Mabry family to identify for us, you know.
Maybe we ought to talk to the folks over at the Horizon, or maybe to Kevin over here, I think he works, maybe put a picture in the paper
every week,
see if people could identify.
Well, you know, I've got this big picture out there of a pencil drawing of a boy, and it's, I guess it's 15 by 17 or 18. Real nice picture. And I put it in the paper back a year or so ago, and nobody could ever identify that. First they said it's Shake Hamilton. I knew it wasn't Shake, but he said it wasn't him. But we don't know where the picture came from. It's in a big old frame and everything. So we've got a lot that we could do that with. It's just getting the time to sort and get a bunch going, different ones every week, and that might be something that we could get. They'll do it. There's no trouble getting it done.
That would be neat, though.
Yeah, house of the week or picture of the week, yeah. You know what it is.
You know, I know on the, if you grew up in Salina or
right.
that kind of thing
yeah.
on Facebook,
right.
that there are some historical pictures that folks have put on. I know the Mr. Webb has done a history of the Webb family, has posted a lot of pictures, and they're continuing, you know, hey, can you identify this one? Can you identify right. that one? And usually about 80-90% of the folks in these pictures get identified by someone
who
they are.
When he was doing that book, he called me and wanted to know if I knew something, and I did. And I had some pictures that he's got in his book. And we've got a copy of that book out in the museum. So if anybody wants to come look at that, it's very knowledgeable. Not only did that we have that, I know you've all seen the Civil War trail signs that are sitting around. Well, he fixed one of the Webb family of the Donelson Cemetery, and we've got it up out there right next to the Civil War trail, so it tells a whole lot of stuff. And we had a lot of pictures. He had this one picture of a group of ladies. They were at a cemetery, and that cemetery used to have little wooden houses over the graves, and there was this group of ladies and everything. And there was this one lady in there, and he emailed it to me and says, you know this lady, the third one in the right? And I said, I sure do. He says, who is that? And I said, that's Paula Sidwell. I said, that's my great aunt. So you never know when you're going to be able to identify somebody in these pictures and everything.
You know, speaking about that, I know there's an old cemetery as you go across over at Standing Stone over there where there are still some of those graves that have covers over them. And of course, you and I remember that in the cemetery when we were growing up, you did not let a sprig of grass grow over a grave.
No.
And it had to be perfectly mounded and symmetrical, all of them. And there were even, I think, a few cemeteries where there wasn't any grass allowed in the cemetery at all. But, you know,
that's a thing of the past. And what's happened in this county is a lot of family cemeteries and small cemeteries, the family has all died out, so there was nobody to take care of them, and they've just grown up. And some of them have actually been bulldozed, several of them. I know of several that, if we go through the cemetery books, there's several of them that I can tell you that are gone. They're just not there. We know basically where, and a lot of them's got houses sitting on top of them. You know, they just dozed them off. Nobody stopped them. I'll tell you where one was, when they built the new road, from the bypass from Salina to Gainsborough, over the low gap out here, plus Markham's cemetery. It went away when they pulled the road through. Nobody stopped them. And I know I was talking to Shirley Hutto Johnson, and she says, well, I could nearly show you where it is at the edge of the road where they just, you know, you can see, when you come up the low gap, you can see a little of the road over here on the left. And she was telling me, and she says, nobody didn't stop them. And so they're not supposed to do that. But if nobody don't stop them, they're going to. And there's lots of them like that over the county. And I know, of course, me going out, I've got 59 cemeteries in this county that I visit every year and put flags on Confederate soldiers' graves. And some of them I have to have a Jeep to get to. But we're cleaning up on them. Every year they get a little better, you know.
Okay, let's take another little short break here, and we're going to come back and talk about one of those cemeteries a little bit, and about the covering of cemeteries by Dale Hollow Lake. So we'll get into that a little bit when we come back. So stay here with us. We'll be back just in a minute after we get in a word from our sponsor, and remind everyone to patronize our sponsors, because they're the folks that keep us going out here, and enable us to spread all this useful information all over Clay County and here in the Mid-South, all of these miles that this 101.5 spreads out to. So we'll be back just in a minute.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Hey, America, you need to have a little talk. We've got a lot of food in this country. We've got so much food that we can't eat it all. So how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids who need it. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria and food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a lot in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire.
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
No.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
We're back.
We're back. We're still here.
Yeah, here in the little corner room in the historic Clay County Courthouse. Grand old lady of Clay County.
Right.
That's been with us.
More years than we know about.
Now on to how many years? Completed in about 1873?
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's been here going on a long time.
And she's getting where she's going to need a little bit of work here before long.
You got some grant money coming available?
Well, we've applied for one. I don't know if we've heard back from it yet or not. But I noticed this morning that the guttering around here, that works, but I noticed a couple of pieces of wood.
Yeah.
Little short pieces that went around where the gutter come through the woodwork up there.
Need to be replaced and everything, because if we don't keep it up, we got to keep it up. This is one of the older courthouses in the state that didn't get burnt during the Civil War and everything, but we have all of our, supposedly, we have all of our records from when we started in 1870 and everything. So.
Well, we need to get all those down. How much stuff do we need to sit down and compile?
Oh, well, there ain't enough days for me and you to do it because we're too old. I know you're a young thing compared to me, but that'll be all right, Thomas. You was behind me in school somewhere back there. But we were talking about cemeteries before we broke, and you wanted to talk about the Dawson Cemetery out at Adam P. Ridge. Let me tell you a couple of things before that. As I go around the county and was surveying the Confederate soldiers in graves, I go to 59 cemeteries. Now, the cemetery that has the most Confederate soldiers in it is up at St. John's. And we've got 23 soldiers in that one cemetery. And a lot of those were moved from the lake.
Is that the one there in there?
Well, instead of going to Willow Grove, you go to Lilydale, and it's just the next road out there on the right. You turn, and it's there's a field between it, but there's a road that leads back to it. And the old St. John's Schoolhouse was sitting right there. Well, I'd been going down there, and I had taken a picture of it. I knew I had it someplace. Well, year before last, I went, and it's gone. They'd torn it down, so I was sure glad I had the picture of the old schoolhouse that was there. And that's, you know, you just don't ever know.
Yeah.
But Donaldson Cemetery is, it was started by the Donaldsons years back. Now, as I grew up, the ones that were, Miss Agnes Donaldson had married Jewel Terry. And they were the ones that lived out there when we moved out on the ridge and everything that I knew and their family and everything. But it's the next largest cemetery, and I've got 11 soldiers out there. We got 10 that are identified and one that's unknown. Now, it's my understanding from Cobb Smith that Crin knew who was buried there. But Crin forgot to tell me everything she knew before she left so I could identify it. So I asked Cobb about it. He says, I've got it written down someplace when I find the piece of paper. But at that cemetery, back when they were building the dam, was one that the Corps of Engineers came to the Donaldson family and says, we want to buy that cemetery, and we want to move a lot of the graves from the lake to there. And they sold it to them. And they moved all these graves and everything. And we have a plat of that cemetery that shows all the graves they moved, cemeteries where they came from, and we've got a map that shows where those cemeteries were to begin with. And once they got them all moved, then they gave it back to the Donaldson family and everything. So there's a lot of graves out there that are not marked, not identified, just over the period of time. And I presume after Miss Jewel and Mr. Terry died, their daughter married A.C. Clark, who was Commissioner of Agriculture back during that time. And he planted pine trees in there. I don't think he knew there's bodies in there, but there's hundreds of bodies in there or that were moved to the lake because I've got the plat that shows it and everything. So it's quite interesting to look at the plat and walk the cemetery and see where people are, you know, and everything.
I wonder if somewhere hidden there's maybe not some identification or that they just leave it up to families to mark.
What they did, it's my understanding what they did is that if the family could tell you what it was, then they marked maybe the rock, but maybe there was a rock there. But it didn't have a name on it or anything. Mm-hmm.
Just something like a number that would match up with a list of names.
Right, that's what they've got. They were all numbered from each cemetery, and then they were moved and numbered and put in the... because the list I've got has all that... I've got every bit of that information for the Donaldson Cemetery because it's out there close to me, and I mow part of it even, because part of it was a briar bush about as big as this courthouse, and we got it cleaned up. And it was over, and that part happened to be over one cemetery. And that cemetery was called the Keene Cemetery. And it was, for you who know the lake, it was down by Mud Island. If you came out of Holly Creek and go through the chute, head towards Mud Island down there towards Galton Holler, I can nearly put my boat right about where it was. And it had, they moved 53 graves from that cemetery up to this one. Now, a lot of them say unknown, and a lot of them didn't have markers. And what they did up at St. John's, evidently the first graves that were moved from the lake went to St. John's, and the Corps put these little white crosses in of all the unknown graves. If you've never been to St. John's, it would be to your goodness to go up there and look. First time I went, it kind of took my breath because you pull in and you see all these little white crosses, hundreds of them up there. And then they're up here in the front more, and then there's graves scattered out in there. And then the back part is now where most people are buried now. But that one they put metal crosses in, and Maple Grove School had always taken care of that. And I had been up there, the first time I ever went up there and putting the flags on the graves, went up there and spent all day, took me to find these 20-something fellas was up there. I walked that thing 40 times before I found some of them. And some of them's graves are broken. Some of them we've gotten some new rocks for. But it's very humbling to see that and everything. Now, the cemeteries after that, it's my understanding that if they didn't have a rock or something, they just put a plank. And, of course, it's gone and everything. And at Donaldson, this one little part of the cemetery, I found the list that showed who number one and number two and all of them was. It was in this one, this Keene Cemetery, and we've got them all marked. And then I had some spaces, and I wondered what was in those spaces. So I had a friend of mine over in Livingston who is what we call a grave witcher. And you may not believe in that, and I didn't either when it started, but I had already known about it, and I had been with a bunch when they had a fellow there witching a grave, and they wouldn't let him. They knew there was a grave over there that had a headstone, but didn't have a body in it. So they sent him. They sent him through, and he told what it was. And they can tell if they're men or women. And so he was going through, and he was telling them. They were checking the headstones, make sure that. And they got to this one where they knew there wasn't a body. He says, "Ain't nobody here." So that kind of made believers in everybody. And when I did this with this fellow out there, he didn't miss a one. He got every one of them. I was really surprised.
Of course, most of the caskets in those days were wood.
Wooden boxes.
There wasn't any such thing as, unless they had a pocket watch buried with them or something.
Right.
There wouldn't be anything metallic in the ground that you could
sonar
or something now.
I've seen some pictures of where they've done this when they were moving the graves. And they had little square boxes like this. And they would dig whatever they could find out and put in that. Of course, it wasn't very big because they'd been there for a long time. And then
So those would be identifiable.
Well, if they had a rock there, they were identifying. Yeah. They would move the rock, you know. But if they had a rock that doesn't have a name on it, it's still unknown. And I know Betty Webb, who lives out on Holly Creek Road, Jesse Webb's wife, got to telling me about one of her relatives and everything. Well, we got spotted it on the map, and we figured out where it was on the map, and here was a cemetery right there. And it told me that they moved six graves from that cemetery to the Donaldson Cemetery unknown. And it was called the Sidwell Cemetery, and it's got six little boxes, and it's got dits around it, and it's got it numbered, and it's got the Sidwell name on it. And we kind of figured out where it was out there. And I've been trying to get them to get some kind of little marker to put up, but you know how that is.
Okay, well, we're going to take another little short break here just in a second. Before we do that, on today's birthday and anniversary club here, we have a pretty short list today. And I think our machine worked good all this past week, but we have celebrating birthdays this week, this past week. Lila Watson, that's Amber and Joe's little girl, I believe, celebrate maybe her first birthday. Harrod Davis from out in the Pine Hill community, and Letitia Denton out in that area. Now, those are the three names we have today, and we have a name drawn out. We're not going to tell you that till the end of the show. We're going to keep you in suspense until the end of the show. So, we don't want you to turn this off just because you won the cake.
Yeah.
But We'll be back in just a little bit, and we're going to continue along this interesting line of conversation we have. I have a whole list of things here that we were going to talk about. So far, we've covered a bunch of stuff and some very interesting stuff, and I know that maybe this will spark some interest in some folks here in the county that will get out and take some look at these things and some of your ancestors may be buried in some of these places, and someone may have left you a letter or something somewhere or another that's got this information on it. And, that's the kind of thing we need to spark someone's interest and get them turned loose on working with us on that.
Right, and we don't want to keep you stuff. At the museum, we've got a big scanner, and so if you've got anything, it's like 12 by 17, and that's bigger than most any writing papers or anything. If you bring them to us, we'll scan them while you sit there and hand them back to you, and then they will be saved for posterity because we can do lots of stuff with them then.
Okay, let's take a little short break here, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kicked Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
I mean, I did a few things.
Welcome back, everyone. We're back here. We're continuing talking about, some of the, of course, we've been with the Donaldson Cemetery here a little bit, and the moving of graves from up in the area that was covered by the El Hollow Lake when it was impounded. And, I guess it's hard for us to really comprehend. You know, we think about, the folks that had to pack up and get on the wagons and the mules and pull out of the hollers up there and bring their belongings with them and turn it over to the Corps of Engineers. But, it didn't just involve bringing the live people out. And that's kind of what we've been on a little bit here, that, the Corps made an effort to move all of the cemeteries out from up there that were going to be on the Corps of Engineers land, and a tremendous undertaking. And of course, as we've spoken here, that a number of family cemeteries that weren't marked, that the graves are still there, but I'm not really sure if Murray Lloyd even has any idea of how many people were moved from up there.
No, but we could probably get a number, because I've got a book. It's got all this stuff in it. And the thing about it was, I believe there was like 100-something cemeteries moved. And a lot of them went to Pickett County. Some of them went up across the line in Kentucky. You know, if the family, I think, would tell them where they wanted to take them to, they would take them and everything. But getting them... The Corps did it all, but the families, if you would ask them, I think they would do it. But, of course, that's just, some things don't ever get done the way we think they ought to be done. But at that time, it was wartime. Even going up to the dam, they had guards on the road. You can go up there and everything. And so it was not a good time in the history of our country when all this was going on and everything. And, of course, Cordell Hull was in Washington, and he thought the lake was going to be a good thing. He didn't know how mad the people was down here. And one family I know about is Bob Riley's family, and that was Miss Rachel Lankford's daddy. They lived up in Mitchell's Creek, right at the mouth of Mitchell's Creek, what is now Mitchell's Creek, on the left-hand side of the town called Fox Springs. Well, my daddy was also buried up that way. And Miss Rachel told us about, I've got a VCR tape someplace if I can find it, an interview with her, that as they were moving their stuff out, there was always some big trees back behind the house that the children played in. And I guess maybe the last day they were moving stuff out, the men came to cut the trees, and Miss Rachel and them said, well, wait till we leave. Would you care to wait till we leave before we move them out, cut them down, before you cut them down? And they just laughed at him and cut them right in front of him. And, of course, they were mad over it. And, you know, his cabin, the cabin that they lived in, is sitting up by on the Obi River. It's Corinne's little cabin that she's got up there that was beside her house. And it says the river home of the riverboat captain, Bob Riley. So that was something that got saved. It was moved to Pea Ridge, and then she got a hold of it and moved it to her house. But that's just the way it kind of worked back then.
I know Miss Nivens at the lumber company.
Oh, yeah.
She's got the two books out there.
Right.
And if you've never seen those, I don't know whether she has an edition of those that are even available for sale now. But just, you know, looking through the pictures of where they were sitting out on the front porch and the water was creeping up toward the house. I mean, you know,
well, you know that house is above the government line. And it's up there in Ashburn's Creek. I've been up there to it and everything. It's in bad shape and everything. I talked to Miss Wilma yesterday, and they've built another cabin up there not far from where the Beesons live, because she was a Beeson. And I talked to her earlier in the week, and I said, what are you doing, Miss Wilma? She says, oh, I'm trying to get ready for this family picnic up at the house. So I saw her yesterday, and I said, how'd it go? Oh, best there was. Everybody showed up. So she was happy, you know, and everything.
She's due to come back down and talk to us again.
Well, y'all get her down here.
She's been down once with us.
And she's very knowledgeable about, you know, she can tell you about how they felt, how the people felt when they moved out. And a lot of them were really hurt and everything.
You know, and if you've never seen the old movie, The Wild River, right, which it of course took place on at another, I guess that one was, it was the Corps of Engineers who built that dam, but where the TVA did that,
yeah,
one, I think, where they came in up in Upper East Tennessee.
Yeah.
And, I mean, folks up there met them with guns at the doors up,
right,
there, and just wouldn't move off. But,
well, there was a story back several years ago in the Overton County News, and it was about the Upchurch family that lived up at Willow Grove. And it's a story about how they felt and when everything that went on as they had to move. And there was these two Upchurch brothers, and they had been talking to Dale Keesling. He had been talking to them about getting all the information, what had happened, everything. But they told him, they said, now, Dale, we're going to talk to you and tell you this, but we don't want this published or anybody know about it till we die. So after they died, Josephine's journal that comes out in the Overton County News every so often, she did a whole story on it. It's very interesting. I've got some copies out at the museum of it. I had found stuff. I keep stuff that I had kept up with, and so we're taking it and putting it in the nice sleeve so it won't get destroyed.
I know this morning I did a little search on her, and you came in while I was looking at,
yeah,
some of Josephine's journal stuff,
yeah,
and I did look, with all the rain going on, I did a little search a while back on the, not a while back, yesterday, mm-hmm, on the Clay County floods. Clay,
yeah,
County, and
right.
The flood of 1929,
right,
came up, and it was in josephinesjournal.com, and in February,
right,
mm-hmm, had a great big snow, and the snow got melted. I think my grandpa said that snow, and he wasn't a very tall man, but he said he was up to about where his belt was,
well,
in 1929.
I guess it's
on
my head.
They had all that snow, I think maybe 34, 36 inches,
yeah,
of snow,
yeah,
here, and all at once it started raining and rained all that off and all. And, of course, there wasn't any, way to for the water to be absorbed in,
right,
the wintertime. It all just ran off,
yeah,
and had a tremendous flood here in Clay County. I guess maybe one of the biggest floods that we've ever had.
Well, prior to that, you know, down on the river banks here, they had big warehouses and everything. And, boy, we would love to have some pictures of that, because that's something that we're trying, and my nephew, Johnny McLaren, everybody knows Booger, and we have a lot of pictures. He's been gathering them up, and I had for years, even before I was out at the museum. And we keep finding things that link back to Old Town, to where we've got a map that's supposed to be the three streets that were there. Well, there's three streets down there now, but one of the streets that was closest to the river has washed away. The Kyle Street that comes through and under the bridge was never a road there. There was three streets down there, and it was supposed to, from the riverbank, you were supposed to come 350 yards, and then the road turned in a southeasterly direction and headed towards the low gap. That was the main thing.
You know, I don't I don't think I have, would even exist, a picture of anything down there during the heyday of the riverfront town of Salina.
Well, I've got a picture of the what was called the Riverside, which was the house that Guy Johnson lived in and that Robert Brown lived in down there. But we've got some pictures of the Red Letter. And, of course, the Ice House is the only building that's down there, really close to the river, that has survived. It belongs to the museum. We just had a new roof and stuff put on it last year because it's getting in bad shape. And we're hoping, I can't find anybody that knows when it was built.
Let me ask you this, Barbara. The house that Robert and Miss Winnie lived in, the old hotel, was there a name of that hotel?
Riverside.
It was the Riverside Hotel.
Right. I've got a picture. A.L. Dale owned it. I assume after he came back from the war, because him and his six brothers all went, and five of them came home. One of them still down on Missionary Ridge or Chickamauga or something in a hole. His brothers, one of his brothers were fighting right close to each other, and he got killed. The brother couldn't go to him, but he went after dark and found him and dug a hole and put in, and they could never find him after that. But I know where the five are. I have pictures of the stones and everything, yeah, because that's unusual. That's unusual.
And so that was the Riverfront Hotel.
Riverside
Hotel. Mm-hmm. I can remember, you know, going down there.
Yeah.
Miss Winnie and my dad were cousins, and he would go down and visit her. And I can remember the small, golly, they live in a big old house.
Right. It was a big old house and everything. Well, the picture I've got, there was all trees around it and stuff. Now, when we saw it, there wasn't any trees. It's just that house kind of sitting there because everything else had gotten torn down around it and everything. We do have pictures of the W.L. Brown building that was down there before. We got a couple of good pictures of it. And we're just looking for others and one of the pictures shows some other buildings down the street, but we can't tell what they are.
Nothing of the old warehouses?
No, nothing. Nothing. That was all gone after that 29 flood, is my understanding. And that's when they started getting ready to build the bridge. What we're looking for right now is a map. And I know they had to have one when they did the construction for that first bridge. They had to know what everything was around it. If we can ever find that map, then we can really trace how the road came out of Old Town, because it didn't come up here, because it was that was just added on later to come on up here to the courthouse when they put the bridge in, because they had to do the fill, you know, to make it come on up here, because this was on such higher ground. I've got some pictures of a flood when the Church of Christ was down there. I've got some pictures of, I think they're M.C. Sidwell's house, which is the one that Don Charles lives in. That there was flood and it had written on it, my law office. And we knew he lived there. I've got those at a lady that's reconstructing the pictures and blowing them up a little far so we can use them better and everything. So anytime we get something, we're just tickled to death. And we found several pictures of the square, especially the east side of the square, that shows Jerry Fox's house sitting right up on the square, and we're pretty sure it shows the Cordell Hull building sitting right up there, just a part of it. So we're getting that blown up so we can tell a little more about it and everything.
I wonder, I've heard stories about, you know, moving of Montvale Academy, those houses, that they would take a single mule and a windlass and walk a mule around a windlass and then roll the houses on logs.
John Mark Hayes told me that story, and I... If I could just get some days when I don't have anything else to do. John Mark has a lot to tell about that. He was in the first grade, and he had to walk, you know, to go to it and everything. So that was, he saw that done, being done and everything. We got a few pictures of the old jail, not a real good one, just sides and not the whole thing, but there's some in the history books, but we've also got, I've got the ones where Jimmy and Oopie bought the jail, and the front door with prisoners in it, and Jay Thompson cutting the lock off, because they'd already bought it, but they didn't have the new jail ready, and Jimmy and them was going to turn the prisoners out. So they finally, this was the picture of them, him and Bowles making the agreement that get that settled and everything.
Well,
Daddy said that his prisoner says he was their lawyer, so he's just going to let them out. Daddy said that.
Maybe they could work out there where they could charge them rent for them while they're...
Well, you know, they used to let them out and come up in town to buy them popsicles and stuff anyway, but things have changed. Times have moved on and everything, but it seems like sometimes you wonder what happened to some of it. Of course, one of the things that you don't see, Kirkpatrick's store, ain't that nice, or Billy's Burger, whatever you want to call it now, had another story on it, and it burnt upstairs, and then they just cut it off and made it up. But now, during my lifetime, I saw water up in the basement of that, and a boat pulled right up on the street.
Me also. I was about 4 years old.
It was about
14 or 15.
Oh, yeah. But I can remember seeing that boat pulled up there and everything. And I can remember when the east side of the square burnt because he'd come back from the Navy. And all that happened, and he went down there. I know he was in his fatigue jacket and came home. There's evidently a dime store or something about that. I don't know exactly. But he had this perfume all over. Is that old Taboo? It stunk like everything, you know. So.
Yeah, I think on the state archives, there is a picture of the Kirkpatrick building with the second floor on it. I found that once. And
several of the pictures that people have put on, I've copied them. And I've got them on my computer, so that way we can use them and everything.
Well, I guess we've held the suspense for a long time here.
We're going to give away this cake now.
We're going to give away the cake.
Well, there's the number.
Okay.
I drew it.
Howard Davis, you have won the cake today. So, Miss Peggy, you and Howard can...
get over here and get your cake.
You need to come by the chamber building and pick up your certificate and take it out. And we hope that you all enjoy this thing. And folks, remember... we need more people calling in. And if you want to send an email to courthouse@infoed.com, I'll accept those. That is the email that's set up just for the courthouse. We'll accept those. If you call this thing, you'll take your time, make sure we can tell who you are, who you're wanting to wish a happy birthday or an anniversary. And this is just... It's too good a thing to pass up, folks. All you got to do is call in.
Right. And I'd like to make invite everybody to come visit the museum. If you've never been in the museum, you need to come. We are in the process of kind of revamping it, but...
You've got all the microfiche and
we've
the
got
archives.
Of the old newspapers and everything. Yeah, I've had some left there looking at those and everything. So, but we've got several stories we can tell you and things probably you don't even know about.
I wonder, is there a chance maybe sometime of getting microfiche of some of the Nashville, Tennessee and stuff?
I wonder if these are microfilm.
I know
we probably could. I kind of made a deal with the archives when we did this that... we've still got our papers, but we can't look at them. But this is the only way we could look at them. And they, actually, I talked them out of a microfilm reader, too. So that made it nice. We didn't have to buy one.
And if you, I guess, Merloid, of course, there's no way to search those things other than if you know a particular year and you can go through a full year of things and you can find what you're looking for. And It's totally amazing just to go through and look at all the activities that were going on in Clay County in those days. And speaking of activities, we've about run out of activity time here.
Right.
We have used an hour today, and I didn't even get over to the history of the lake and the Holly Creek fishing camp.
Well, that's later on up in the years.
Okay.
we'll do that some other time.
Because I think you were... Yeah. Around that place from the time you were...
Oh, 8 years old.
Able to reach across the top of the counter and
tell
the family sold it years
right,
later.
Right, yeah.
Well, I guess on that note, we can bid you adieu for today.
Well, thank you, Thomas. I appreciate you having me with us. And if anybody needs any information, just call us at the museum. If I don't know it, I'll find it.
And may the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. And hopefully we'll meet again right here in the corner at the Clay County Courthouse. And you can listen to us on the radio every Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock and tune us in at 6 o'clock tonight. So until then, God bless.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.